The message.
The message. The message. As I was preparing for today's reflection, I couldn't help but think of the message and what is the message that we receive, what is the message that's heard. And so I'm inviting you to reflect with me on some words from the gospel. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. What do we hear? The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. How would we pass on this message? I would imagine that we all share this experience from some sort of introduction to basic communication, whether it was in the home, at school, or perhaps in our first job, when someone carefully explains that there are three essentials of effective communication. And whether you've heard this recently or a long time ago, you might recall that we were told, first of all, there's a messenger. Secondly, there's the receiver of the message, the recipient of the message. And thirdly, the message itself, the content. Sounds familiar? And quite often, to prove the point about clarity in our messages and the way that messages could change over time, there's an activity in which many have participated, where a message is passed on from one person to another with the goal of finding out how the original message compares with the final message. Sounds familiar? Well, we're not going to try that this morning, but perhaps one of our fellowship evenings, we'll try that. And I dare say that quite often the final message has absolutely no resemblance to the original. And that is problematic, isn't it? And there are many reasons why this happens. Can you think of any? We hear what we want to hear. We block out the rest of it, right? And this morning at the 8 o'clock service, we tried that because we had an outdoor service at 8 o'clock. And with all the traffic and noise in the background, I hope that we heard the sermon. Certainly we sang, and Doug was able to set up the amp, and we made a joyful noise unto the Lord as a witness to the neighborhood, witness of Christ's love in the neighborhood. So we were able to block out some of the ambient noise. So, thank you. We hear what we want to hear. What are some of the other blockages to communication? Distractions. Anything else? Changing the meaning of words and different interpretations over time. Sometimes deliberately changing the message. Sometimes if we're not interested or do not agree, message doesn't mean anything. So we're suggesting here today that the message must be clear and the receiver must remain open to hearing what is said. And today's readings are quite rich with messages. Aren't they? Teachings for us to live by. In the first reading from 1 Kings chapter 8, we are told that after Solomon had built the temple in Jerusalem for the Ark of the Covenant, he offered up prayers at the dedication of the temple. He thanked God for his love and for listening to the prayers of the faithful, and he asked God for his continued presence and protection as promises made to Solomon's father, David. And when we listen to the reading that Michael did, the first reading, we hear some important elements of prayer. Thanksgiving, first of all. Secondly, putting our requests and petitions before God. And in the second reading, which comes at the end of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, it is quite encouraging to hear the message that all Christians must be prepared for challenges to our faith, and that we should remain faithful in prayer as a response to every situation throughout our days. But I wanted to place this reading in specific context, because we must bear in mind that Paul wrote powerful messages from prison to Christians scattered around the Roman Empire at that time. And this excerpt comes close to the end of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. So Paul reminds the Ephesians, and us by extension, to be fully prepared with the whole armor of God. God-like qualities like truth, righteousness, peace, and our faith. Faith inspired by the Word of God in order to do God's work. And Paul ended by asking the people of Ephesus to pray for him. And this is probably a model of what we might consider in our own prayers, because Paul did not ask the Ephesians to pray that God would remove his chains, although he was in prison. But he asked the people of Ephesus to pray that he would continue to speak boldly for Christ in spite of his chains. And Paul writes, and I quote, "Pray also for me so that when I speak, a message might be given to me to be made known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak." So Paul, the messenger, considered himself an ambassador for Christ. And we are aware also that God can use us in any condition, just as he used Paul from his prison cell. God is able to use us to do his will. And as we pray for a change in our own situation, we must also pray that God will accomplish his plans through us, wherever we are. But over the last few weeks, we've been following the Gospel of John. And in this excerpt from John chapter 5, verses 56 to 69, Jesus continues his teaching about being the bread of life. We hear the good news that Jesus offers us his flesh and his blood to eat. He offers forgiveness and eternal life to those who believe. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless, Jesus said to his listeners. And by this, he invites us all to live each day by trusting him. But we recall that in the exchange between Jesus and his disciples, many rejected his ideas. And one can think of some possible reasons why the disciples rejected Jesus' ideas. Well, I would speculate a bit here. One potential reason that Jesus refused to give in to their request, and we too might be disappointed that God has not responded to our prayers. We might even be discouraged when the results of our prayers differ from our expectations. So that's possibly one reason why the disciples did not respond well to what Jesus was saying at that time. It's also conceivable that in Jesus' teachings, Jesus emphasized faith, not works. We too must place our trust in God. You might recall last Sunday that Reverend Morning in her sermon talked about faith. She talked about trust, and she talked about confidence in God. And we are reminded from Hebrews 11 and verse 1 what faith is all about. And we go back to this definition because it's biblical. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And of course, you would recognize the King James Version, which has a certain rhythm to it, a certain sound to it. So, Jesus did not emphasize good works. Jesus did not emphasize the activity in which we all participate. Good for the church, because we need to do things. We need to have action. We need to have programs. We need to have everything that makes it fully a church that's reaching out to the community, that's taking care of our members, and that's proclaiming the gospel. But what Jesus emphasized is our personal faith, our personal strength, our personal courage, our personal belief, our personal relationship with God. And lastly, one possible reason why Jesus' message might not have been received by his disciples is that they were probably too difficult to understand, too complex. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. And through this, you'd be saved. The Spirit lives on in you. We can go on and on about Jesus' teachings. And sometimes they were interpreted literally, and this could become problematic. And we too might find some of the teachings of Scripture and the church a little too difficult to understand and sometimes to believe. But we must persevere, don't we, as we ask God to strengthen our faith and give us the understanding and the courage to do His will. But it's not always easy to stay faithful. And if you're like me, you probably have times when your faith is severely tested. But we are not alone. For we know that there are many who choose to stay away when faith is being tested. We know that families and friends whose faith is being tested and who are probably not regular at church because they're going through a time of disillusionment, perhaps, a time when their faith is weak, a time when they would rather not be part of the fellowship of the Christian church. Recently, we have been discussing approaches to reach out to the generations that are missing from the church. And if you look around, as I'm doing right now, you'd agree that they are missing generations. And it is evident that we must do something about it. We have probably raised our children in the church, and we probably have concerns that they might have drifted away from the Christian way of life. But we remain prayerful and hopeful, don't we? For many of us remember times when we ourselves were not as regular in our attendance. Perhaps during our college or university days. Perhaps when we were raising our children and Sunday was only our only day off to get the housework done. Perhaps in the days when we did not have a car or any form of vehicle to get to church. Or perhaps there was a time when we were so consumed with our career, we were too tired to make the effort to go to church on Sunday morning. So we must not be judgmental. What we are urging each other to do is to keep praying that God we'll find a way. We must be persistent in our efforts because the gospel message teaches and touches people in different ways and in different circumstances. So, my friends, as we face the challenges of the Christian life, Let us continue to explore God's teachings and ask Him to reveal to us what they mean and how they apply to our lives. Let us be encouraged by Paul's words to the Ephesians. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere. Always persevere. Stay faithful. Stay faithful and see what God can do. So in closing, the messages for today are quite forceful, aren't they? Solomon reminds us of the importance of prayers and thanksgiving. Paul reminds us that we must pray at all times and proclaim Christ's gospel of peace, even when it is unpopular. And the words of Jesus, as recorded by John, keep us focused on the true source of life as we are fed and enabled through the power of the Holy Spirit. And through the word and sacrament, which we celebrate here Sunday by Sunday, let us continue that relationship with Christ, which is conveyed by Simon Peter's words, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for opening our ears to your message. Thank you for revealing to us our to-do list for today and for the next little while. We pray that you would give us the courage, give us the wherewithal to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.